Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Beneath Vancouver Radio. We are on episode number 58. Again, wonderful time being here as well, being on the podcast, and a wonderful opportunity to speak to so many wonderful individuals. And in today's episode, on episode number 58, I am accompanied by Rico. Rico, how are you doing today?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Appreciate you taking the time to come in on the show and everything like that. And I'm going to let Rico kind of introduce himself a little bit here and explain a little bit more about what he does and add a little suspense as well as to what brings him onto the podcast. So I'll jump right into it. And Rico, who are you today?
Who am I today? You know, I was thinking about this question. It's open-ended. I know, and it's such a simple question, but it's such a profound question. Mm-hmm. Made me think about the first time I met you.
Right.
You were in high school.
Yep. Exactly.
And you that remember. Was that was 7 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah, seven. Actually, we're almost eight now. So we're getting there.
Yeah. That was when we just had opened.
Mm-hmm, I remember.
Yeah. So so part of my answer to that question is I own a restaurant called Smokehouse Sandwich Company in Richmond. Mm-hmm. We've been there for 8 years now in November.
Yeah,
that's crazy to just thinking about that 8 years.
Yeah, no, just, you're telling me, man, it's time flies. Like it's. I remember now that you mention it. So, for those who are unfamiliar, where exactly your restaurant is, it's on Westminster Highway, and it's near where I went for high school. I'll remain sort of private on that, just in case. So it's near my high school, and it's about closer to, I would say, a 10-ish, maybe 10 to 15 minute walk. And during lunchtime, this was near my senior year at high school, so near my graduation, I remember walking by and we noticed that it was like in the plaza, like a new restaurant. I was like, oh, wow, this is new. And remember, we went in and we tried your sandwiches. I'm like, this is amazing. And it was kind of bad though, because then it was almost every lunchtime we'd go there and stuff like that. And sometimes we'd be running late and everything. So it was definitely an experience. But yeah, no, I remember going there with all my friends. And I mean, it's amazing to see, obviously, that you guys are still going strong and everything like that. And it's really funny how life works. And, you know, started it. That mm-hmm. was our first kind of interaction. And, you know, here we are again, almost 8 years later. Now in speaking in a podcast, right? And I mean, I definitely wouldn't have thought about this happening anytime soon. So, no, it's a wonderful experience. So, yeah, why don't you share a little bit more about kind of the restaurant and kind of how that started and how that became, you know, a reality?
So, it started off as an idea when we were before moving here to Vancouver with mm-hmm. my wife. I sponsored my wife, and then I first landed here with my family, and then I met my wife just as we were about to leave to migrate to Canada. Mm-hmm. So we were there in the Philippines. There was a weekend market that started, so we thought that it's hard doing nothing
when you're fair enough.
Yeah, so I was in the Philippines for a while. So there was a weekend market that opened, and then we thought the idea of smoked meats and sandwiches was a good idea to explore. Mm-hmm. And then from that idea, from that seed, this idea has been as old as my eldest daughter. She's 11 now. Mm-hmm. So it's funny that that idea has been around for 11 years, and it's progressed from cooking a short rib steak on a griddle mm-hmm. now to making sandwiches for 8 years now. It's
and for so many people too, right? It's, and I like how you mentioned it. It started with an idea, as all good things usually start off with an idea. And you know, you took a lot of risks, you know, from your journey. It was, you know, migrating to Canada, as you said, and starting really more or less potentially from scratch and building that idea into an actual reality. And now obviously a successful restaurant that's been operating for almost 8 years now. So it's nice to see that journey. And I think for a lot of people as well who are listening, you know, they might not be 8 years into whatever it is that they're doing, but it's about selecting those kind of opportunities, or not selecting, but finding, I should say, those opportunities where you are passionate about something, or something, you know, sticks in your mind and sparks an idea and sparks a fire within you. And then from there, kind of going, you know what, I'm going to go for it, right? I'm going to push for whatever it is that you wanted to do. And I guess the one of the questions that maybe I'm sure I'm thinking of, and potentially other listeners are thinking of, what was kind of like the process of actually, you know, finding a place for the restaurant to be in, like a location? How did you decide on maybe like a lot of the menu? Like how was you had the idea and now you're obviously going to execute it. What was that hurdle of obstacles potentially of actually building it up?
It's a lot of, it's one problem after another. It's really more, because I'm still amazed that we've been here for a while. Mm-hmm. There are so much more restaurants that serve better food than we do, that have better service than we do, and during the pandemic they'd have to close. Mm-hmm. And but it's amazing that for some odd reason we're still here. But
there's a few reasons I can think of, you know, the Wilbur's and stuff like that. That's my go-to, at least for sure.
Yeah. Nice. I like Wilbur. He's a very underrated sandwich.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to say is that, it's sometimes it's not, being the best at something, but mm-hmm. trying to achieve that and the persistence to do, to accomplish the goal that you've set out. Mm-hmm. It's in the beginning, ever since I was a kid, Sarah, one of the sandwiches, she was named after my grandmother. She would say something in Filipino. She would say, "Mangangarap ka na nga lang, titipirin mo pa." Translated into English, that means it's hard to translate.
I can relate.
it's something like don't skimp out on your dreams. So why skimp out on your dreams?
Okay.
So it's from the time I was young, I was already conditioned to be an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a family of entrepreneurs. My family on both sides were entrepreneurial. I think it's very Filipino to hustle. Mm-hmm. So achieving that goal, it's so much easier to let go of a dream that's something within reach.
Right.
I think it's easier to achieve a goal that's so out of reach that seems impossible, because you're always striving for it. Mm-hmm. You have to have that drive, that persistence, the tenacity to just keep moving forward, because not all days are good. Some days are awesome. So yeah, but some days, like especially through this pandemic, I was alone in the restaurant, mm-hmm. doing everything, and wondering if should I just close the doors?
Yeah, close the doors. Yeah.
But I was reminded last year for me was a was a year of refocus. That was my year last year. Mm-hmm. During the pandemic, it was the Lord showing me what my priorities were,
right?
What should come first all the time. That way, it's easier for me to decide to say yes to the things that point to my priorities. So, mm-hmm. and then this year was for me a year of transformation. So it's going back to your question, who am I today? I think the five things that I believe that's being honed in me is first is being a servant, mm-hmm. and then next is being a good servant, a good husband, a good father, a good friend, and a good entrepreneur. I think those are the five things that I need to focus on this year. I think, who am I today? I am someone who is trying to better myself in those five aspects. It helps move me forward, not just this year, but also in the dream that's been casted far into the future.
Yeah. Yeah, those are almost like your foundational points, right? And regardless of where you go, and you know, whether hopefully the restaurant obviously continues for the foreseeable future, but regardless of kind of what the future holds, these kind of five pieces are what makes Rico Rico, right? Essentially, right? It makes you who you are.
Yes. Well, that's for this year. What I need to focus on this year. Well, who knows? Maybe I don't know what next year will bring.
Yeah.
Well, I've learned to take things in stride and to enjoy each moment now.
Yeah, no, you never know when things are going to change. And 2020 was a huge testament to that, right? No one expected everyone's world to be flipped upside down.
So, curveball for everyone.
Exactly, exactly.
Which the good thing about it is that someone used to tell me that it's like... he used to say it's it translated, it's a white canvas, so
blank canvas, like, yeah,
a blank canvas, that there's no, it's new for everyone. Mm-hmm. So the world is pivoting into a certain direction, and there's a chance for us to be on top of it, to be, mm-hmm. I think it's very exciting.
No, it definitely is.
Yeah.
It's almost like you're using this kind of period of time in this last year and a bit to, reinvent yourself, potentially reinvent who you are as a person, or maybe not reinvent, but restructure, and kind of how you said, refocus on certain aspects that might have been pushed to the side in the last, you know, how many years. Because I think the one thing that I took away personally from the pandemic was just and I think you shared a similar kind of a feeling or moment, was the ability to again focus on the things that should be having a priority. Because I think prior to the pandemic, everyone's life was like, go, 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 right? We were nonstop. Yeah. We're very involved in technology. You know, we're on our phones a lot. We're going from point A to point B. We're doing this, we're doing that. You know, especially as you're well aware, as entrepreneurs, you know, you want to be able to do the work, put in the work, and hopefully achieve the success that you hope to achieve while doing the work. And I think with the pandemic, it was less like everything was put to a halt. And, you know, the things that we usually take for granted, myself, you know, seeing my friends, going out to a coffee shop, just the ability to go out in general, right? Let alone to a coffee shop, but the ability to go out in general was like taken away. So it was kind of like, you know, who am I? Who's Aaron? And who do I want to see? Which Aaron do I want to see leave this pandemic, right? You know, whenever this does pan out completely and, you know, things start to, again, go back to normal or whatever that may be. But I think that for me was also a focus of you know, what version of Aaron do I want to see in the next year and a half? That was my kind of focus in March of last year. So I'm happy to hear that you kind of shared a similar kind of vision. And yeah, I think it's super important making sure that you're aware of who you are and focusing and yeah, making sure that at the end of the day, you're happy with who you are as a person as well. Yeah. I'm going to shift gears a little bit here, if you don't mind, and talk a little bit more about kind of the backstory. You kind of mentioned a little bit here, because I've always been curious as to this reasoning, and I kind of have an idea now that you mentioned it earlier. Now that I have you on the podcast, I would be a terrible host if I didn't ask this, and some of our listeners might be interested. The naming of all the sandwiches, you know, you said Sarah was your grandmother, I believe.
Yes, she was my grandmother.
Your grandmother. Is everyone else in terms of like the Samsons, Billy's, Wilbur's, everything else, all the other sandwiches, that also based on family members' names or kind of give me the backstory behind that?
I had a conversation one time with my wife, Cece. She mentioned that no one names their food anymore. Give me an idea. So when she mentioned that that no one names their food anymore, it sparked an idea. My background actually is in production.
Okay.
I was trained as a writer and a director. Before moving here, I did short films, music videos, corporate videos. So, and then for some reason, I ended up in food here.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a bit of a shift.
I know. So I think it gave me a certain perspective on food. Mm-hmm. So, but the good thing is the foundation in art, it translates to any art form, food, or business, or podcasting.
Yep.
The principles are principles. So it was, but I think it gave me a certain perspective in the restaurant. So when she said that, it was a nice jumping off point. The idea started actually with the Samson was the first sandwich that we made. But when we started, it didn't have a name back then. Mm-hmm. It was just called the coffee crusted strawberry glazed beef brisket sandwich.
definitely a mouthful.
So when we moved here, so we started the restaurant, and then we had that conversation. So and then maybe we should start naming our food. Mm-hmm. So I started naming everything, even the hot sauces, even the drinks. but my wife was no, you're pushing it.
Taking it too far.
Yeah. So that's the good thing about having a good partner in life. She was someone who can see a different perspective and tone you down. But so we decided to name just the sandwiches. We needed a beef sandwich, a chicken, a pork, a vegetarian sandwich. So we knew that the brisket was something we were already doing. I was thinking of a name, or what to name it. And then brisket is this cut of the meat, of the cow. So, and then it reminded me of this person in the Bible, Samson. So he's strong. So I thought, maybe that's a good name for a brisket sandwich, Samson, because it's strong and beefy. So to me. And then Sarah was easy. My grandmother marinated the chicken that we have the same way, but she used to deep fry it. And she also made pickles. So this is a variation of her recipe.
Right.
So Wilbur is he's Charlotte was too late. So well, that, during that time, I think my daughter was reading Charlotte's Web. So
I, so Wilbur.
Yeah.
There you go. That's the story behind my favorite sandwich, everyone.
So that's where the names come from different inspirations.
No, I like that.
But some we do. I run out of names for them. We have a cheese sandwich. It's just a three cheese sandwich. That's what it's called. And then what are the newer ones? Jethro. Jethro is it's our take on a Cuban sandwich.
Oh, okay.
I used to work in a restaurant, in a breakfast restaurant called Jethro's. Mm-hmm. And that's where I first tried a Cuban sandwich. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I like how everything's connected, though, too, as you mentioned, to either an experience, a feeling, an emotion. And I think for me personally, that's what really makes it so unique, right? And also arguably it cements that particular feeling into, you know, the business, right? And for yourself, obviously being behind, you know, doing the sandwiches and doing the work yourself, you can kind of almost relive slash kind of feel the connection to these sandwiches even more on a personal level than just like, you know, naming it, you know, sandwich number one or sandwich number two, right? As other restaurants might do that, you know, won't say any names, but I think that's also what makes the restaurant unique too. There's a story behind it. And I think that's what a lot of people don't know, really. And the main purpose behind this podcast and in general, what Beneath Vancouver is about is to share those kind of stories and those, the brand behind, or the people I should say behind the restaurant, behind the brand, because, you know, now people know when they walk in and order a Wilbur or a Sarah or a Samson, they know kind of the story behind that and can connect with you even more. So I've got to ask though, what's your favorite? I think that's a question many people are wondering for sure.
My favorite right now.
Well, let me rephrase that. If you were allowed to only keep one sandwich on the menu, what would it be?
I think the next one.
The next sandwich. Fair enough. Good answer. What's your favorite one right now?
What's my favorite one, right? I think it's it depends on the situation, on how I'm feeling.
Okay.
To be honest, I haven't had a sandwich in a while. Part of my transformation is taking care of myself. Throughout the week, I try to eat as little carbs and sugars as I can, and then on Sunday I just go all out.
Yeah, that's your refill day, your cheat day. Yeah, you gotta have one at least one of those a week.
Yeah, to have fun. Yeah. So usually I just have the meat with a salad. I have coleslaw a lot, and then it depends on the day. What every day I think I have a bowl of coleslaw, and then depends on the day. I like the brisket. It's because of how it is. It's very fatty. It's full of flavor. So I love fat. So that's where all the flavor is.
It is, and I can confirm that is very flavorful and very delicious. I haven't had any personally I haven't had any of the newer ones as well, so I'll have to come by and try one of the new ones. The Jethro one, I was taking a look at the menu online prior to the starting of the podcast, and it looked very, very delicious. And I think I've only had one Cuban sandwich ever in my life, so I don't have much of a baseline, but I'm sure it'll be delicious.
I snack on a lot of Priscilla's is a new sandwich that we have.
Okay.
This contest for Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. It was we would name your sandwich after your mother. This lady Rina, she won, and her mom, so we interviewed her mom, and found out that her dish was Parmesan crusted chicken.
So that sounds really good.
Somehow we it was a nice challenge. We had to somehow translate that into a sandwich.
A sandwich, yeah.
So we thought of I thought of a few ideas. I didn't want to deep fry anything. It didn't go with the system that we built. So
yeah.
Somehow, I don't know how, but I thought of just making a crispy Parmesan chip. And then just put it on top of the sandwich. So that's what the Priscilla is. It's smoked chicken with a Parmesan crisp, roasted tomatoes, lettuce, and aioli. So the Parmesan crisp, that I have three or four of those a day.
As a little snack, no one's looking, right? So you're just
it's zero carbs. It's no sugar. It's crunchy. It's very tasty. Yeah,
it's the texture, right? That's also the important part. Makes you feel good about yourself. Where does kind of the? Because I'm curious. You know, you mentioned a lot of obviously your background in production and filming and everything like that, and obviously. Moving here and doing the restaurant thing for now, you know, almost 8 years, as we mentioned, where does kind of the creativity come from? You know, you just kind of in detail right now described how, you know, you had a bunch of ideas and you thought of like the Parmesan chip and everything like that. Where do you kind of gather inspiration from other chefs, other restaurants, you know, social media or just thoughts that come off the top of your head?
I don't know. I think it's a...
Or a mixture of it's everything.
It's about, I think, being curious. It's deciding to not be old. So it's constantly progressing. I decided a long time ago that I would stay young.
The mind, yeah. Stay curious. Learn as much.
So I think that and just experiencing life. I've always believed that every person has at least one good story to tell,
and
you can learn from that person. And I think it's also the creativity is about picking those ideas and then somehow connecting them and turning them into something that adds value. I think that's where the creativity comes from, just living.
Yeah. No, and pulling from your life experiences, I think, is the best inspiration you can really get, right? That's a part of your life and part of something that you've lived through. And I like how you said also providing value, and that can come in a bunch of different ways, right? For me personally, like hopefully this podcast is providing value to the listeners. For obvious reasons, your sandwich provides a lot of wonderful value, maybe not, you know, mentally, but it fills me up and it provides good value to my stomach, right? So it's all about these different things and bridging them together and creating something. I think that's the important part. And staying curious is so important. And for a lot of younger individuals, you know, either recent graduates or about to be graduates, a lot of the, I guess, stigma or not stigma, but a lot of the people think that, you know, once you've graduated, you know, you go into the workforce or you do whatever and you're done learning. But I think that's really when the learning just starts to become even more fun, because you get to learn different things and you don't have to worry about, you know, the exams and everything else that you have to kind of give back and regurgitate. Now you can just learn for the sake of learning. And I think that's where a lot of the inspiration as well comes from. And I've definitely learned a lot in my last, you know, year now that I've finished up university and been able to hopefully again provide value to others along the way. And I think that's a great way to kind of add everything together there when it comes to ways to be creative and stay curious. You touched upon it a little bit, but I would be again a bad host to kind of ask you a little bit about the experience so far when it comes to, I guess you mentioned this, I think it was off the record before we started recording, but you know that business right now is consistent. You have your regulars and stuff like that. What was kind of the growing pains of getting new customers, and especially as a new restaurant, or for someone who's tuning in right now and is potentially thinking of either building a restaurant or works for a restaurant and stuff like that? How did you kind of start building the reputation that you have now, and you know, building the connection and the brand loyalty, so to speak, or the customer loyalty?
But I think it's, again, it boils down to adding value. Mm-hmm. Whatever product you put in front of a person, it's what value they perceived. Mm-hmm. that item, and then that too, plus the whole experience. I think that's what brings back. That's what accumulates your audience.
Right.
My approach into this is that our price point isn't priced for everyone. Mm-hmm. We did that for a reason, not just because of the whole process, but also I wanted to make sure that I was always living up to the value that the numerical value that I put in the product. Mm-hmm. That it gives us the drive to make it better, or try to make it better all the time. Sorry, I got lost.
No, you're good.
What was it?
I think you sort of answered it. It was asking like, how do you build the customer loyalty, or the brand loyalty?
Yeah. And the growing pains. So
yes.
In the beginning of any idea, it's really like having a baby. This is like another baby to me. You have to really nourish it, take care of it, everything. Mm-hmm. And then slowly you hit a stride, and then it gets going. You work on the system. It's always trying to better the system and try again, from our perspective, is trying to add value to the customers. We want our audience to, after having a meal, to feel better, not just about themselves, but about life after having eaten or consumed their product.
Yeah.
So
it's a whole experience. That's what you're selling. You're not just selling the sandwich, right? But you're selling,
yes.
And I remember specifically, I don't think it's there anymore. Correct me if I'm wrong. Obviously, you'll know the answer to this, but I remember the menu was on a chalkboard. Is it still on a chalkboard? No, right? I think you guys changed it.
Yeah, it's still in that wall in a chalkboard, but I need to paint over it. Because we've added a lot more things to it.
Yeah,
it's hard to keep erasing.
too many products. But the point that I was trying to say is that like that in itself adds to the experience, to the value. Right,
yes.
You go in there, you see. I remember as well. And correct me again if I'm wrong. I haven't been there in unfortunately in a while. A little bit over a year now. But you have like yourself and whoever else is working there at the time. You see the counter. It's very homey, and it's an experience, right? You go into, like, for example, another restaurant that, again, might only sell, you know, similar sandwiches, but it's maybe just numbers and, you know, here you go. Okay, bye-bye now. I don't want to see you. You're just a number to me. But I think with you in particular, it's, you're building that relationship as well with the customers.
Yes.
And I've seen it firsthand, and everyone who's tuning in right now is as well. Like, Rico remembers me from high school 8 years ago. Some people don't even remember me from who I met last week. So it's about building that relationship and really understanding. And that's obviously a main reason why you have, you know, the regulars, the consistent business, because people have not only come to love your food and your product in this case, but people have come to love the brand and who you are as well as a whole. So I think that's super important. And unfortunately, what a lot of, not even just businesses, but other people, again, that are trying to sell you something are creating that relationship. They don't see the long-term value. I'm going to throw some marketing jargon there. They just see the instant gratification of, okay, here's another customer. But you know, if you build that relationship with them, that's something. And I'm sure, are there still people from 8 years ago that are coming in now? I'm sure there are.
Oh yeah. Yes. I've seen, children who
have grown up.
Yeah. grown up eating our food. It's very heartwarming.
Yeah.
When you come across these people, again, to reiterate the point is it's where we see, we don't, when we see people walk in through the door, we don't see just numbers. We see people. These are the people who intentionally chose to spend not just money, but time.
Right.
Time with us and an experience with us, and we don't want to waste that. We mm-hmm. see people as I've through all of this in business, I've learned to see our clientele as lifelong clientele.
Right.
So I don't want to break that relationship in the beginning. I'll intentionally work on the relationship so that we have a long relationship. It's mm-hmm. not just one. That's just my way of thinking. I want to care for you as until I'm able. Mm-hmm. So that's how I see the brand.
Yeah.
Also, in that sense. I wanted to share with you something, a dream of mine. I've always wanted to.
Of course, yeah.
I've always dreamed about having a farm, mm-hmm. and caring for our livestock, our own livestock, our own vegetables. I have this dream of creating a farm to table, but I know no one's done it, I think, in a chain yet.
Mm.
So I that's where I have my dream set on, just having a farm to table, but in a larger scale to
right.
serve as much people as we can.
Yeah.
So, and in order for us to achieve that dream, we need people who believe in us and will help support us. And these people we want to care for as long as we're able to.
Yeah. No, mm-hmm. exactly. And it's that long time saying, I forgot the quote, but it's like 1,000 fans, right? If you have 1,000 fans that... in this yeah. case, 1,000 customers that are loyal to you no matter what, you know, those are the people that ultimately carry the business, right? And help you yeah. grow and allow you to achieve the dream, right? They're a part of that in one way or another. So all great insight, Rico. I really do appreciate that. We are unfortunately nearing the end of the episode now, but as all of our listeners are aware, if you are a Beneath Vancouver listener, longtime listener. If you're not, then this is kind of how we wrap up all the episodes here, where we ask our guests the somewhat also open-ended question. But Rico, what piece of advice would you give to your younger self and why?
What piece of advice would I give my younger self? Cut the fat.
Okay.
I mean,
hopefully not the actual fat, because that's the most flavorful part.
The most flavor, yeah. I mean, don't carry around the things that are unnecessary. Because you don't want to carry too much weight. That way, you can focus on the necessary things so that you're able to grow and build on a purposeful goal.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, you have too much luxuries in life, you're it's not just your attention that's diverted. It's also all your resources, your mind, your physical, your emotional. Mm-hmm. So I think that's, yeah.
That's a good answer. Cut the fat, cut the excess, right? And I think especially in a digital age where we're in right now, we get so distracted and so many things going on, and, you know, Twitter this, TikTok that, Instagram this, whatever. You can kind of get lost in all of that. And yeah, as you mentioned, lose focus of what actually is a priority, right? Whether that be your, you know, obviously, hopefully your family, your job, your other things that you actually want to get done. So I fully agree with that. And I think for a lot of younger people as well that are tuning in right now, that can be relevant, not even just in business, but in school, right? If you're still a student, focusing on certain aspects that'll help fully become, mm-hmm. help you become, sorry, I should say, a better student. So that's a great piece of advice, and one that I'm still working on personally myself, and it's definitely a work in progress. So
for everyone, right?
For everyone. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
It's a journey. I've learned now that it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's we're in this for the long haul.
The long haul. Well, you're doing something right if you've been if you're still going strong for 8 years, and I'm sure you will continue to do so. And I'm looking forward to part two when I'm talking to you again, when you have the farm and you have all of that set up. And nice. I'm sure that dream will become a reality as does your first one. So thank you again, Rico. I really do appreciate it. Thank you for taking the time to be a part of my journey and my podcast kind of journey here as well. And hopefully have inspired or have brought up some great knowledge here to all of our listeners as well. And if everyone who's tuning in, if you are in the area located in Richmond, where exactly is the restaurant, Rico?
It's a unit 108-5188 Westminster Highway.
There you go.
If you're in Richmond, it's on Westminster between number 1 and number 2 road.
Yeah, exactly. Just right there.
Yeah.
Nice little plaza. Blue sign, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Yeah. Can't miss it. So I'll also make sure to put all the socials and everything like that in the description down below. But where can they find you, Rico? Where can they see some of the amazing food that you guys have, obviously, aside from the storefront? Your time to plug any social plugs that you have. The time is yours.
We're on Facebook and on Instagram. Facebook, we're Smokehouse Sandwich Co. And on Instagram, Smokehouse Sandwiches. I can't remember at the moment.
I'll put it down in the description. Don't worry about that. People usually click through that anyways. I don't think anyone actually types it in manual. And if you do Smokehouse Company, you'll see the first one. It should be the first one there. But thank you again, Rico. I really do appreciate it. Thanks, thank you again to all of our listeners for tuning in. If you're watching this, my previous episode 57 with Colin, this was filmed on the same day. I'm not just coincidentally wearing the same shirt. So don't roast me or anything like that. It's not the same outfit. Well, it is the same outfit, but it's the same day. So that's my past. And if you're not watching this on YouTube and you're tuning in on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, check it out on YouTube. If you like the video portion of as well, want to see kind of who it is I'm talking with. You get to see the amazing backdrops. In this case, Rico's outside, beautiful sun, nice little setup, stuff that you don't get to see obviously on the audio only version. But either way, I do appreciate you guys supporting me. This once again was episode number 58 of Beneath Vancouver Radio. Have a wonderful day, everyone. Take care.